Okay, well, we've I think we've had a a decent week here. Always a hard game to prepare for. So many things that you have to look at when you go into the opening day. All last year's stuff, all preseason stuff, and all the things that we have to do relative to the transition on our team in the last 10 days or so. But that, all that being said, I think we're all excited to get the season started, and we'll be ready to start playing here. And obviously a big division game on the road, so always a tough place to play down there. So hopefully we can do a good job and play well here to start the season. But I think that players have worked hard. I think they've really put a lot into this week in preparation, and like I said, we're looking forward to getting started.
Joe, Tom wasn't able to practice yesterday. How much do you miss with the guy who's going to be playing on Sunday, most likely, when he's not out of the Thursday practice?
Jimmy steps in and does it. I mean, it's no different than any other position, any other thing we've done before there. Going golfing today, Tom?
I forgot my shoes. I lost my left without my shoes.
It's the biggest news on Twitter.
It's unbelievable.
Who does that?
Comes into the press with golf shoes.
I have never seen this arrangement, by the way. With the gingham under the pullover, so.
Wait a minute, we're talking about your style, not mine.
It is better than him being barefoot.
Yeah. Where are you playing?
You know, Bill, I have actually stuff to do today. I'm covering the football. Nothing on your feet. You're in flip-flops. I have to work today. This is an oversight because I had to find out what happened to your damn quarterback, so I ran out of the house.
On the way to the golf course, stop by here. I got it.
All right. Bill, is Tom's situation with his calf, is it something that can be fixed quickly or heal quickly, or is it a chronic thing that you might have to manage over time?
We've listed it on the report like we're required to do.
Any doubts about him being able to start or be fully effective?
We'll list it today, and we'll see what happens today. We'll list it the way it is today.
You expect him to practice, Bill?
We'll list what happens.
How the injury happened to his
cat? We've done everything we're required to do. We've listed the injury. We'll continue to list it. And we'll list his status based on what the requirements in the league are. Just like we do with every other player.
Bill, Darrell yesterday was talking about Mike Wallace and his speed. What else is it about him that makes him a threat on the field?
Oh, they have a very good receiving core. They're all good. Mike's fast. He's good after the catch. I'd say he's got rare speed. It's not good speed. It's fast as anybody we see. So he can take a short play and break it for a long run, or he can run through the defense. That also creates space for other guys, too, when your defense has to go deep with him. It creates more spaces in the short and intermediate areas. So, he helps the passing game in a lot of different ways. And they move him around. I mean, it's not always in the same spot, so you have to find him. You have to be aware he is.
You touched on this in your opener a little bit about all the work that you have to do last year's film, preseason game. Is there ever a week that brings so much unknown and uncertainty than week one of the regular season?
I'd say by a wide margin, too. Once you've seen a team play in the regular season in week two, they've played their hand in a lot of ways, so. I mean, it's true of your team as well as your opponent, but, there's a lot more out in the open after week one than there is before week one.
Bill,
Bill, how often have you run into an opponent doing something way beyond the pale as to what you expected opening weekend?
Not too often.
So there's just only so much a team can...
I mean, you can do whatever you want. I just don't think when you've worked on something, you know, all the way through training camp and all the way through, everything leading up to it, that you would do something that, you know, put in a whole new offense in 3 days before the game. It's hard to do. I think, you know, you see teams like going back to Buffalo when, Levy was up there. They didn't run the K-gun in preseason. They would just run, you know, their regular junk. And, you know, a lot of times they didn't use three receivers. They'd split a back out. Or Gibbs would do that at Washington, too. He didn't run any motion in preseason. No shifting and no motion. And then once he got to the regular season, I don't think they ever ran a play, unless it was in 2 minute, that they didn't shift in motion on. I mean, that was almost unheard of. So, but you know they're going to do it. It's just, you know, they just didn't show that aspect of it. But, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but I don't think that's really that big of a deal.
It's just small tweaks as opposed to big revolutionary.
Well, I mean, a team like that never shifted or motion, you know, you don't know what the shifts and motions are that they're going to run, but they change them every week anyway. So even if you played them in the regular season, if you play the Redskins in the regular season, you still, whatever you saw the last 4 or 5 weeks, you weren't going to get that. You were going to get something else. So you still couldn't prepare for it, but you just, you know, you could kind of see the, you know, the timing and the operation. But, I mean, it wasn't like it was, oh, they're going to run the same shift against us that they ran last week against somebody else. You wouldn't get that. But, you know, if you watch them in preseason and you never saw a K-gun or you never saw a shift in motion, you know, your players are watching it and they're looking at it and they're not seeing it, and you're just not as in tune with it as if you're seeing it on every single play like you would when you're playing them in the regular season. I mean, I'd say that's probably would be the biggest thing, other than, you know, a trick play or a new formation or something like that. But that's kind of a weekly game planning thing.
Follow that is the Dolphins have been open about their interest in running a little bit faster on offense. Is defensive disguising ever a way to maybe confound the offense and slow its pace down, or is that a chess match level that you're not probably going to get into if they're trying to run with pace?
Oh, no, I think it's definitely part of the whole chess match. Yeah, I definitely think that's true. But, I mean, you can't go fast and read defenses. I mean, you can't. You're just trying to get to the ball and run it. So I'd say there's an element of a change of pace, and that's true on defense as well. I mean, there's times you just got to get lined up and be ready to go because the ball's going to be snapped. You can't. You worry about disguise. You're just going to be out of position. And the same thing offensively. If you're going to go fast, then you can't, you know, sit around and see where they are and get in the right play, because then you're not going fast. So, you know, there's a balance between those two. It kind of goes back and forth, and if the team does more of one than the other, then, you know, then I'd say you play it accordingly. But, that's pretty common of almost all offenses now, some element of, you know, fast tempo, moderate tempo, kind of a, you know, multiple play check with me tempo, see what they're in, get the best play, that type of thing. Teams, you know, change that pace. That's, you know, pretty common throughout the league. It's not... We do it, and everybody else does it.
How much flexibility does a player like Chandler Jones, who can play standing out inside defensive end, give you on defense to maybe change up looks and try to confuse the defense and offense a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely gives you something you can do there. And some of that's within a game, and some of it's maybe from week to week, depending on what you're facing. So 1 week maybe it's this, and the next week maybe it's something a little bit different. And you can do some of that within the game of moving around. I mean, sometimes it depends on the player, depends on the team you're playing. Sometimes moving, a guy around in a lot of different spots is not that easy during the game, and, you know, it can be a little bit confusing. Not even so much for him as the other guys. You know, like, who are you? Are you an N? Are you the Will? Are you the, you know, Sam? You know, and because they want to know who they're working with too, and so it's. But I mean, you can do it. You just gotta, you know, do what you can do. If it's too much, then sometimes it can slow you down. But definitely, as you match up against different offensive teams and systems throughout the course of the year, a player like Chandler could have a variety of different roles depending on what you had to defend.
Is that similar to the role Willie had when you coached him when he was here?
Yeah, similar but different. But yeah, I mean similar. But Willie was a different, he had different skills. I'd say he was a different type of player, but you could still have versatility with him. So,
Along the same lines, you talked the other day about having trouble getting substitutions if Miami's not substituting. A guy like Jamie Collins, if he's not on the field, you know, young player, how much progression mentally have you seen from him if he's going to have to, you know, be on the field for multiple plays in a row and, pick up these different looks from Miami on the fly?
I mean, I don't really think that's a problem with Jamie. I mean, it hadn't been a problem since he's been here. He's a smart kid. He understands. He understands our system, and he's an instinctive player. He understands, football. All those guys do. Hightower, Mayo, they're all smart. They all are instinctive. They have a good feel for what the offense is trying to do and how they're trying to create different matchups or what they're trying to get out of different formations and how we need to adjust to them and so forth. I don't think learning or being able to make adjustments or adapt. I think all those guys are pretty good at it, which is good. But Jamie, even though he's the youngest of the three, learning and all that, that's not an issue with him.
Bill, have you settled on a semi-permanent replacement at guard for Logan Mankins who you're going to put in there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know how we're gonna play the game, and like anything else we do, we always have contingency plans if something happens to somebody, and I think that we have a lot of good players at that position on the offensive line, and that there's, we'll see how we end up playing them, but we can end up, playing more than five.
Does Logan or I'm sorry, Sebastian seem like the primary guy? Fill that spot?
Well, we have five linemen, so we'll plan the way we think will give us the best chance to win.
Last year your game in Miami was in December, so it was cold here and then hot and humid down there. Because of the timing of the game this year, is it maybe less of a concern because you've kind of had these conditions, or are there still things that you need to guard against or worry about?
I mean, I think anytime you play a road game, you have to prepare for those, whatever those conditions are, if they're different from yours. So, yeah, I mean, we've had our hot days here. I mean, look, I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, I really don't. We've been out here in training camp practicing in July and August, so we're as ready as we're going to be. In the same situation 2 years ago, was it? Whatever year it was, we opened down there, 11. So, some guys weren't on the team, obviously, but there are plenty of guys that were on the team. So, whatever it is, it is. I'd say that's the least of our concerns. Our concerns are the Miami Dolphins. That's what we need to be concerned about, and that's what we are concerned about. I'd say, how bright the sun is. I don't think that's pretty far down the list.
How much does the Miami offense change or improve with Bill Lazor coming over from Philly and Sean Marino coming over from Denver?
Well, it's changed. I'd say it's changed quite a bit. I mean, they've changed the schematics of it. And yeah, Marino's a good player, play on the field in all three downs. Good in the passing game, good in protection, good runners, good quickness, good vision. So, I mean, he's a good player. And their system is a little different than it was last year.
Final question. How much growth have you seen in Stephen Ridley and Shane Green in terms of leadership?
Good. Yeah, good. I think both those guys have, I think back to when they were rookies. You know, Shane barely played, and, you know, Steven, the transition from what he did in college and what he did here was, say, pretty significant. And, I mean, they've both gotten better every year. You know our system well, are comfortable in it, and they've trained hard. They've both been, you know, really pretty durable players. I mean, I know Shane broke his hand last year, but that's, you know, not the type of injury that you can really prevent, I would say. You know, it's, but he, you know, they've been durable, they've been productive. And I'd say they both had good camps and have shown good leadership and they've been good teammates all year this year. So, and they worked it well together. I'd say that the chemistry between those guys is good. You know, their roles are a little bit different, but they complement each other and they work well with each other and make each other better. All right, we'll see you in Miami. Okay.